Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Do you think social media has turned us into a narcissistic society? And I read an article in the Irish Independent today about social media, specifically teenagers who are constantly taking selfies. And it was written by John Daly. It was a great piece. And he talks about a recent trip to Photo Wildlife Park, in which he saw a family captivated by the new cheetah cubs, which I believe are beautiful, by the way. He says the family were in awe of the animals, except for the teenage daughter, who was too busy taking the best selfie by the enclosure. He said that the father told the daughter to forget the camera, clearly trying to get her to enjoy the experience, but she continued to get the best photo of herself in the park. Ever since the hashtag selfie, of course, went viral back in 2010, the obsession for the perfect picture has got worse. And I'm sure we all see it every single day. John Daly wrote in the article, social media lets narcissists make a perfect picture of themselves, editing and doctoring before posting it online for an expected stream of social approval. According to a study by psychologist Kyle Nash of the University of Alberta, published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience, it's the narcissist's perfect tool, he said, adding such individuals are particularly sensitive to exclusion. Now, I'm not a selfie person. I don't put selfies of myself up. I never have, never, probably never will. I don't think I have ever done it. I think I did it once, maybe twice with somebody else, if you know what I mean, that I was with somebody else at the time. But I don't agree with it. Another element of social media, of course, is the cancel culture of shaming. Time and time again, we see stories of people being shamed online for something they haven't done or a mistake, you know, that they've made. We have people going viral because they've said something wrong or even maybe lost their jobs because they've said something wrong. On the other hand, social media has changed how we get news. Of course, we get instant news now and hear about stories we never heard about before. But today I want to talk about social media. Do you think it does more harm than good? And realistically, when we talk about this obsession in society with our bodies and our image, it is created by social media and the selfie. And do you think social media is a positive thing in society? As much as I use it regularly to promote the show and promote the radio station, because, of course, social media is the new poster on the wall, isn't it? I personally believe we would be a far better world without it. Absolutely. For example, I put something up yesterday on Twitter that Twitter took exception to because it was a factual statement, but they didn't like it. And because it undermines the authority of the WHO or the state, I was suspended for 12 hours. I don't mind saying that, but I think what's important to note here is when you have a private company, and Twitter are a private company like Facebook, like WhatsApp, like everything else, they then control information. And I think that's a very dangerous precedent to set going forward in the history of our society, that we allow a private company to control the information we're allowed to have. Twitter clearly have bias, and it's been pointed out many times, so they don't like anybody who disagrees with their own personal bias. And they will suspend them or ban them or whatever it is. Hopefully our Twitter account will be back in about an hour or so. So please let us know, do you believe that social media is a good thing or a bad thing? Does it do more harm than good? Particularly, I suppose, when we talk about teenagers. Let me know. The number is 087-188-0008. Does social media do more harm than good? Martin, you're on Classic Hits.
Morning, Niall. How are you?
Good morning, Martin.
Right.
Late in the day, by the way, to be saying good morning, isn't it, to be honest with you?
It's something that sort of was in my family. If it was the first time you saw somebody in the day, it was like a good morning, you know?
Well, I was always confused when I say hello to somebody just after 12 o'clock. Do you say good afternoon? Because it's a bit early to say good afternoon as well, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, when it starts getting dark, it's a subtle hint there to change tack, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so Martin, social media in general, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know, the jury's still out, but I'm getting to the conclusion now that it's probably one of the worst things that we've, let into our lives at the moment. It's, like you say, there's a private company element that's controlling what's being said in terms of a narrative. But then again, when you look at, you know, the content-driven aspect of social media, you know, it's set up on people absorbing basically their own opinions. You know, your account is followed by people that have a similar opinion to yourself. So you're getting cocooned in listening to one particular type of narrative. So obviously there's a big surprise when somebody has a different opinion to yours. And that's why I suppose other people go down into meltdown, you know. But we're seeing social media polarizing the US at the moment, because obviously you've got a situation where, you know, news comes on instantly. People make judgments about what's happening, you know, whether, you know, police or protests or whatever. And then you'll have two or three days of, you know, all this opinion being thrown out, all these judgments being made. And then all of a sudden, when the police have had a chance to investigate whoever it is or whatever it is, you know, that narrative then has to backtrack when the facts are there, because a lot of what we're listening to is opinion. It's not fact. So, you know, we're basing a lot of our judgments on what we're being fed in terms of our own opinions being mirrored back, because that's how the social...
Well, that's how it works. I mean, look, I'm looking at a screenshot here of what I got on Twitter last night after I posted a post, and basically it was a statistical fact of the CDC in America, right? I'm not going to go into it now, but what I posted wasn't an opinion. It was actually, I basically just copied and pasted what the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, which is a legitimate organization. And it said, we understand that during the times of crisis and instability, it is difficult to know what to keep yourself and your loved ones safe. Under this policy, we require the removal of content that may pose a risk to people's health, including content that goes directly against the guidance of authoritative sources of global and local and public health information. And it says, for more information, go to the WHO.ie. So in other words, unless you agree with everything that's being said, and don't get me wrong, I agree with a lot of what's been said, but some I'd like to challenge and debate. So unless you agree with everything that's been said, we don't agree with you, and we'll remove anything you put up. So that's, and somebody gave me a great analogy years ago, that it's like living in a small town, and once a week they decide the laws in the small town in the town hall, and the mayor in the town hall doesn't let anybody in unless they agree with him. And that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? I mean, it is,
and that's seriously damaging for our society, because, again, it comes into the idea of cancel culture. Unless it fits in a particular format of the narrative of the day, you can't debate otherwise.
And okay, but that's one aspect of it, and I wanted to mention that, because obviously we didn't put any tweets up today, so that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is the danger to teenagers. Now, this obsession with their... with themselves, I suppose. They've become, and I don't want to have a go at every teenager, but a lot of teenagers now, and maybe we've always been like that, have become narcissistic and self-obsessed.
Well, they've had to do so. I mean, in all the cases, I mean, if you look at the way in which you sell products online these days, or you become somebody online, it's all content-driven. So, you know, you have to set yourself up as a self-publicist to get noticed, to get a following, to get your marketing together.
To get likes, to get approval. They're looking for approval, isn't it?
Yeah, it is for approval, whether it's product approval or personal approval. You're trying to get people on side to follow you. So then you become, you know, this puppet, this clown to whatever you're trying to sell. And you know, for some people it works, for some people it doesn't. It tends to work more for those who probably would not go into the acting profession or into the broadcasting profession, whereas it probably wouldn't suit somebody who's, you know...
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I wasn't a broadcaster and I wasn't doing a radio show, I would have nothing to do with social media. It wouldn't interest me in the slightest. But I do it for the show. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Seamus as well. Seamus, you're on Classic Hits. Adrian, Seamus.
How you doing,
Noel? Your 12-year-old is obsessed with her phone.
She is, yeah. But, like, I mean, at that age group, a lot of them are, unfortunately, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it, bar try to distract them with other things that you can do, real life things, I guess.
Yeah, like going for a walk or reading a book or something,
reading a book. Like, you know, a lot of young people do read a lot more now. I think the focus on reading over the last 15, 20 years has been massive, you know, definitely through the media here in Ireland anyway. But in saying that, like, I feel sorry for them. Like, I mean, I'm in my early 40s myself, and I'm in that generation that, you know, I was of the generation that were introduced to the ESAT Digiphone mobile phone with Dennis O'Brien back in the day. And we all went around with our mobile phones. Now, this is before they even became
smart.
Remember the days?
Yeah, I had a Motorola brick. Do you remember the Motorola bricks? You could store 10 phone numbers in it, but no names, it's just phone numbers.
All you had was a little simple text, you know, that was social media at the time. But in saying that, like, you're looking at them, I feel sorry for them, because, like, especially if you look at young men, young lads now, I mean, they're walking around with the shaved legs, tanned, beefed up six packs. But now, I'm not saying it's great to be healthy and fit and all the rest, but this obsession, like, it's an obsession to become as good looking or as prosthetic as the next thing that you see online, most of which is fake. you know, but they don't understand that. But it's very hard for somebody of my age, or even as a father.
I did say to Aileen earlier on when we were talking about this that I thought it was more of a female thing than a male thing. But to be honest with you, she disagreed with me, and she thinks it's both.
No, it's more male now than female.
Do you think so?
Oh, it's definitely more male than female. Males are far more obsessed with this, the image thing, and to how to look physically super fit and domineering or whatever it may be. But unfortunately, and you can't, it's hard to say this because if you're of a certain age bracket, you know, you don't look like the old fogey that says, oh, well, now, you know, when you're older, you won't look at life like this. But, you know, in 10, 15 years, 20 years' time, when you're in your early 40s, you're not going to look like you were when you were 20.
But somebody's texting here, Seamus.
But what are you going to do then? You're going to have to have a different outlook on life. And I do feel sorry for this generation because they're surrounded by a generation of individuals that are self-obsessed.
Narcissistic and self-obsessed. Somebody said, by the way, when you said, you know, you can't take the phone off them, somebody just texted and says, for Christ's sake, take the phone off them. It's that simple. But can you?
You can't excommunicate them from the world around them. And that's just, we're trying
But are you excommunicating them from the world around them? Because if that's the case, where we all excommunicated from the world around them, because we didn't have the luxury of, you know, having this, you know, permanent connection to the outside world.
Well, this is the thing, Niall, you see, it's trying to evolve with the luxury, and it's vast, kind of like, I don't know, like it. It's everything's at ease. It's a flick of a button.
Yeah, I know, but it is a huge responsibility for a young child to take on the world, essentially. But stay there, Seamus, and stay there, please, Martin. Danielle, you're on Classic Kids. Danielle, I mean, do you believe that children are becoming self-obsessed?
Children are, yes. So they are, Niall. I'm kind of torn on the subject.
Okay.
So I am. Because social media, it's a good platform for information.
Yes.
For broadcasters and for the general public.
For information you would have normally never got because you only would have had RTE or whatever it is. So now you have all sorts of information and different views on things. Well, we'd like to think you have different views, but whatever, sometimes that doesn't happen.
I'm the type of person that I'm not, I think my opinion just as valid as someone else's.
And it is.
You know, and I just don't like to see kids like this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not kind of interacting with the world. Like for that family, it was a photo Wildlife Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just say, yeah, like that side of it is really quite, well, I agree with that lady there.
Yeah.
It's really worrying. Like, it's that's how.
But I've seen that so many times. You know, you bring your kids to the most wonderful place in the world and you're walking around, you know, captivated by this place and they're standing there staring into their phones.
I know.
That's the problem.
Well, hang on, Seamus. Just let Danielle finish what you're saying.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Danielle.
I think that's the problem. They don't kind of value the family, the time with their family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know,
and
I mean,
the world around them.
Sorry. Back on that one.
Yeah, sorry, Martin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I look back when I was a teenager and, you know, 13, 14, 15, you know, you do start growing away from your parents, you know, regardless of social media. So, you know, the idea of me going across to Manchester to see the relatives was the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be down the fields with my mates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that carried through on social media in the sense that, yes, they can go with you, but really their lives are still intertwined with the mates. And I suppose social media, all that's done is put a big mirror on this thing, a big magnifying glass on this thing, and make it feel 10 times worse than it actually is. I don't think, you know, from a behavioural point of view, as kids are growing up, there any difference, really.
I would disagree, and I probably agree a lot with Danielle, what Danielle said. I don't believe they're valuing the family anymore. You know, I mean, the time spent with your family, particularly between the age of, say, you know, 7 and 16 years of age, where you have the age of logic up to the age of maturity of 16 years of age, it's a really important time. And when you've got kids who are almost feel like they're being put out of their way by bringing them somewhere nice, like we're going, that's a nice day, and, you know, dad or mom turns around and says, listen, tell you what, we're all going to the zoo today, or we're going to a museum, and the 13-year-old is going, oh, no, I want to be on Snapchat, my mates, and they don't want to go anymore. They don't want to do anything. They just want to be on their phones, taking selfies, looking at each other. And even when you do manage to get them to go, they spend the day with their earbuds in, you know, taking selfies of themselves rather than what they're looking at.
Well, I'm not saying that the problem was always there. It's that social media just magnified it and made it more possible for them to...
Before I go into the break, just let me ask you.
Reject themselves.
Okay, just straight out. Danielle, before I go into the break, do you think the world would be a better place without social media?
I absolutely do.
Okay, Seamus, better place.
Yeah, I think. Well, look at social media. What it's done, it's infiltrated elections. It's about to do the same thing again under Trump. It creates fake news. There's more bad news and fake news than good news on social media. So
Okay. Martin, do you think it would be better with or without it?
I think we better start winding it back in again. You know, because I think it is actually causing us to look at the world in a very false prism.
Absolutely. How did we allow private companies to control the information of the world? We've allowed basically two private companies to control all the information in the world between Facebook and Twitter. They're controlling everything. Of course, Facebook, who own WhatsApp as well. So we're allowing them all to control. And I don't know who owns Snapchat, actually. Who's Helena? Snapchat owned by Facebook or Twitter? Probably is. Probably the same groups of shareholders. So we're on private companies to control all the information in the world. So I want to ask you the question again. I'm asking everybody, do you think the world is a better place with or without social media? I'm going to come to Robbie in a second. But we start this off with an article by John Daly in the Irish Independent, where he witnessed a young girl who was brought to Photo Wildlife Park. She was, the family were captivated by the new cheetah cubs, but she was too busy taking selfies of herself and basically saying that teenagers have become self-obsessed and narcissistic. Robbie, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Robbie?
Up on yourself.
It's the same as smoke signals and bush kangaroos and every other form of communication we've ever had throughout time, but it's probably more efficient, I suppose.
Look, he has a point. You know, the newspaper was 20 years ago, you know what I mean? And before that, it was...
But it was limited to 40 pages, wasn't it?
You know. But look, the way I look at it is I came off Twitter. It was an absolute cesspool. Like, don't get me wrong, social media has its good and its bad points, but... Like, everybody has an opinion, and everybody wants to have an opinion, and everybody wants to vet their opinion on social media. And Twitter is probably the worst for it, you know?
No, Twitter is toxic.
It's toxic. And, I mean, the worst ones on Twitter are the ones who hide behind the Twitter handle. You haven't got the leader.
Well, I've often said this in relation to Twitter. You should have to upload your driver's license / passport to prove your identification before you can use it. That should be an absolute. But in saying that, Twitter are not going to do that because they'd lose money.
Now look, some of the stuff that's on Twitter is criminal. You know, like, some of the stuff that people get away with on Twitter is incredible. Like, you know, like, I have a Facebook page there now, and I'm barely on it. I have about 78 friends on it, you know, because nobody loves me. But, I mean, you look at, seemingly my daughter's made an Instagram page, because I don't do it. But since I came off Twitter, I'm the better for it, you know.
But here's the irony of Twitter, right? You know, there are people on Twitter who are obsessed with maybe people in the media, right? Now, there's, say, for example, there's a few people that I deal with on a regular basis. One guy had about 10 accounts at this stage and abuses me constantly, makes up false information about me, has threatened to kill us here in the radio station. And I've reported the accounts to Twitter on numerous occasions, and they don't suspend them. I put up a tweet of factual information, but because it doesn't fit with the narrative at the moment and it undermines the authority of the state, I get suspended for 12 hours. So there's no logic in the way they deal with things. Okay, but getting back to, I suppose, teenagers, do you think social media has had a very negative effect on teenagers?
Yeah, I do. Look, I've got three of them, you know, and I just say to them every now and again, look, you might actually see the world pass you by, you know. You look at anywhere, any conversation that goes on anymore, the conversation is their place, looking at a screen somewhere. The thing is, if I ever go to the pub, I always say to the lads, put them Jesus phones down, you know, and let's have a conversation. You go out and you see a gang of teenagers anywhere, and say there's eight of them, I guarantee you six of them are looking into a phone, you know. And I think that...
And why are we doing... Well, then, why are we doing nothing about it?
That's the thing, you know. Why are we doing nothing about it? Because, I'll tell you why we're doing nothing about it, because it's a multi-billion dollar or euro industry, that's why. Like,
it can't only be about money, can it? It's because, I suppose, governments of the world can use it to their advantage as well, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I mean, the powers that be can use it to their advantage.
I mean, look at this crisis. Look at the COVID-19 crisis at the moment, okay? The current health crisis at the moment, right? Yeah. Everything that's happened has been driven by social media. And I mean, every decision that's been made by government is being driven by social media. Yeah. Right from the start, the hashtag of close the pubs after that, on Paddy's Day, we all seen people jumping around Temple Bar. That was hashtag close the schools. The government
hashtag
were forced into
it. Like
everything, I mean, the same with Golfgate. Everything has been driven by social media. Every decision.
Well, Niall, our former Taoiseach just gone was a social media darling. He knows nothing but getting likes on social media. You know, he drove his government through social media, you know. So, like, when you've got the T-shirt, Jeremy, Jesus, like,
former T-shirt, yeah.
former Taoiseach.
Well, he kind of still is, isn't he? They're sharing it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's standing back and watching Fianna Fáil implode, but that's a different day of conversation. Yeah. But, I mean, you look at everything. Donald Trump, as you say, the most powerful man in the world, he's never got that phone out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, well, it's all ego with him anyway.
Yeah, but, yeah, it was different reasons.
You look at everything. It's hashtag something. Whatever comes up, hashtag World Cup 2020. Hashtag, you know, Olympics 2020. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Hashtag my cat just went to the toilet. You know, it is. And that's the extremes of it. That you've got people who are on...
Okay, let me ask you, Martin. You're still there. Martin, do you think it would be a different world if we didn't have social media? Like, for example, do you think we would have had lockdowns and a reaction to COVID-19 the way we had if we didn't have social media? I don't believe we would.
No, I don't think we would have had the...
You're a bit muffled there, Martin. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, hang on.
Yeah.
I'm just on the speaker there. Yeah, it's just a case of social media has just created the frenzies, you know, and it's probably the first pandemic we've had with social media.
Obviously, and look what's happened.
And with the Trump thing, again, that's all driven by social media and the media narrative. And that's probably the first real presidency that we've had that has...
I mean, you look worldwide, you know, with Trump and towards the end of Obama's, I suppose, reign too, when social media became popular, we looked at America and we kind of just knew who the president was. We didn't know too much about their politics, about what was going on. But now we know everything. We know more about the American president than we do about our own president.
Yeah. But then again, you know, back to the old days, the companies like the Irish Times and, you know, the UK equivalents, they carried the media message then. They held the narrative. They were the ones that had the platform to push opinion, you know, and a lot of governments fell on the backs of what was put in the papers.
But we didn't get... There's so many... you know, we talked about fake news a second ago. There's so much of that. There's so much rubbish. But there's also so much irrelevant news that we see. And irrelevant stories that become big stories... there are more important stories out there of, you know, children being abused or whatever it happens to be, the things that we should be focusing on. And yet we're focusing on some stupid, irrelevant story about a social media star or an Instagrammer, who dropped his bowl of milk this morning or something. I don't know. That becomes the news.
That all started with Sky News. What happened with Sky News was it all of a sudden became news 24/7. So, right, instead of having news at 9 and news at 6, they had 8 hours to fill. You know, 10 hours to fill. So they filled it with opinion. They filled it with rubbish. And obviously the cat fell out of the tree. That became news. And that's what...
Yeah, sorry. Okay, Robbie, sorry, go ahead.
Like, if you take on Martin, remember as well, in the 80s, if a plane was hijacked in Iran, you'd probably hear it the next day. Now, you hear it.
As it's happening.
Here's the thing yesterday. I think everything is so instant now that everybody knows what's happening straight away. Because yesterday, Shamrock Rovers got AC Milan, just to kind of a little point, right? And I rang a couple of people and my uncle, who was in his 60s, and he knew. And I spoke to my mother, and she said it to me, and she already knew. She wouldn't even know who AC Milan is. You know, but the thing is that, like, the news is so instant and it's so quick there. I think the problem is that it goes so fast and it's replaced with something else 5 minutes later. That the point that you're making is that we miss out on some of the very, very important points. Where Brad and Angelina probably had a baby, or there was a bomb that went off in Tehran, and the baby being born then
is a more important story, yeah.
And the Tehran thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so absolutely. So people are dying all over the world, you know, in tyranny and all sorts of different ways, and yet we're focused on, you know, a reality star, you know, who picked his nose yesterday.
And these influencers, what is an influencer? Some fella or some girl on Instagram that tells you that this lipstick is great, and they have 5 million followers, but some fella who works for the United Nations trying to feed children around the world has 50,000 followers. That tells you about the world that we live in, you know.
This comes back to what I'm talking about, being narcissistic and self-obsessed. Let me just go to Dave as well. Dave, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Dave?
Hi, folks.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Dave. Dave, would the world be a better place without social media, and have teenagers become narcissistic and self-obsessed?
Right, your first point, we probably would be better off without social media. But then again, if you think back in the early days of the internet, you had like MSN chat rooms and stuff. So maybe...
Not quite the same thing. Wasn't available to everybody.
No, I know, but,
you know what I mean?
I know, but what I'm... because not everybody had computers or internet back then. But what I'm saying is people were already congregating on the internet anyway. And this is probably just like maybe a natural progression of the technology.
Yeah, but you could go back further and you could say people had groups on CB radio, people had groups on shortwave radio, radio enthusiasts. So that's it. I tell you where social media took off. When we could hold a device in our hand, see a large screen and type on it. So that happened with, I suppose, the introduction of the iPhone, the very first iPhone. That's really when social media became a thing.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, like the point you made with CB radio, a lot of it is tribalism. You know, you're trying to search out a group of people who are like-minded like you and agree with everything that you agree with, you know, because it makes you feel like you're part of a larger group.
A big echo chamber, like, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But, like, the thing as well about teenagers, like, lads, teenagers have always been narcissistic and self-involved. This is nothing new. You know, I remember, like, when we used to have non-uniform days in school back in the day, for the girls, it was like a fashion show. You know, they were all trying to outdo each other. So, and as well, like, I don't think it's fair to just point at teenagers, because there's as many adults on social media who are stuck into it as teenagers are. And if I'm being honest, the adults are the ones doing the most danger. You know, you don't have teenagers sharing stuff about, like, Bill Gates wants to microchip you and, you know, read your mind with 5G technology. That's adults. Do you know what I mean? Like, fine, teenagers, they're obsessed with their looks. But they've always been obsessed with their looks. I remember being 16 and my parents were like, hey, we're going off to such and such a place today. And I was like, well, can I just stay at home and read comic books? Do you know, so it's nothing new. It's just a new vehicle for them.
I don't necessarily agree with you, Dave. I mean, yes, there was children who were quieter and subdued and wanted to stay at home and read the comic books rather than go to the zoo. But in saying that, you know, nowadays when you look at children, I mean, as I think Martin or Robbie pointed out, you see eight teenagers sitting at a bus stop. Six of them are staring into their phones, whereas eight teenagers sitting at a bus stop, you know, 30 years ago were having the crack. They might have been kicking each other or punching each other or pouring things over each other's heads, but at least they were having the crack. They were interacting.
And I don't disagree with that point whatsoever. I remember when we first had mobile phones, and I was a teenager, and like, you remember the polyphonic ringtones where you could type them
yes.
in yourself?
Yeah, that's...
You know, and someone would be like, hey, Les, I got this new ringtone, like that dance tune, Zombie. And then somebody else would be like, oh, I got this ringtone. And then everybody be playing all their ringtones at the same time, and it was just nice.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Are you talking about Zombie Nation there, by the way, yeah?
That's the one.
Yeah, what a great piece of music.
Belter of a tune.
Oh, there was... I guess that brings back memories of Club M back in the 90s, and you'd play that and they go mad.
I remember that back if you're at a rave and that came on, the whole place.
And then, of course, I think the biggest leap forward when we came to, the tunes on phones or ringtones on phones was, I suppose, the Crazy Frog. Which was, that was the kind of first popular one, wasn't it?
Jesus, don't. My youngster starts singing that whenever he's trying to get under my skin.
Did you not have the Crazy Frog, Martin?
I think I did.
Robbie, did you have the Crazy Frog?
No, I wanted to smash every phone I heard that shit. It's on my head.
Judging from these social media commentators, one can only come to the conclusion that we are being conditioned to view those of us who speak out in defence of our own freedoms as selfish, when nothing could be further from the truth. Our freedoms have been bought and paid for with the lifeblood of our forefathers, and to cast them aside now in fear of the least deadly apocalypse in the history of man is an insult to their ultimate sacrifice. So benign is this pandemic that it must be sold to us by the mainstream and social media with its death toll fudged, flawed and inflated. In other words, the point he's making, Dave, is that social media has been used throughout this pandemic, I suppose, to put fear into people.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with that point at all. But, like, you know, trying to make out that, like, you know, it's only because of social media that, you know, misinformation is being spread is it's a lie. Like, I mean, media corporations have been spreading false truths since, you know, like, go back as far as America in the 1950s with the Red Scare, all the propaganda during the Cold War. And they used to use Looney Tunes as anti-World War II propaganda, you know.
Well, even nursery rhymes were used as propaganda, if we look at all the very famous nursery rhymes and the deep, dark secrets behind them. But in saying that, they wouldn't have had the power of the modern private companies like Twitter and Facebook.
No, they wouldn't have had. And, like, whatever, was it Robbie that made the point that, like, it's because of money? And it is. It's all money. It's like, it's why, like, if we want in the morning, the Irish government can say, Facebook, cop on, or you can cease trading in this country. They're not going to do it because it's a vested interest. Like, one of my biggest problems with social media is the fact that conspiracy theories are now at the forefront of media. You know, like, people nowadays will read a conspiracy theory and they'll read it on Facebook and they believe it's true. And, like, I don't necessarily blame the technology or blame the platform itself, because if I want to learn something, the onus is on me to make sure I'm getting the information.
Well, no, I don't think you're right, because here we go, right? Do you believe that these private companies like Twitter and Yahoo and Facebook have a responsibility and a duty, say, to control fake news? Because the press do. We do as a radio station. We're governed by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. So we're all governed by something, but social media have no regulations apart from self-regulation. No.
Yeah, that's true. And I think one of the reasons because of that is because you get into the, say, the realm of, like, censorship and freedom of speech. But it's also a very, like, if you really consider it, it's a very new technology. You know, we haven't had it for that long.
But Twitter are now becoming famous for their censorship.
No, I know. But you see, the thing is as well, like, a lot of people seem to think that it's some person behind the screen that's censoring you. But
In some cases, it probably is. I mean, it clearly, you can see with Twitter that they have, you know, Twitter itself as a group, as a company, have an opinion. They're obviously quite liberal in their views. And, you know, you can put up anything you want about certain things. But if you condemn, say, Black Lives Matter, or if you condemn LGBTQ, or you condemn anything that would be part of the liberal narrative, you're going to have your Twitter account removed or suspended. So
you see, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, because, like, a lot of, like, the censorship that goes on is done using an algorithm. But, like,
a word search, yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but I give up on Twitter a long time ago. But I'll tell you right now, like, I see on Facebook constantly some of the most awful, vile, disgusting things that people say, and it's got nothing to do with, like, wherever you land on the political spectrum.
Okay, well, do me a favour, stay there, because I want to go to Neil just before I finish this up. Neil, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Neil?
Good, Niall. How are you?
Good. Neil, in relation to the social media in general, do you think the world is a better place or without it, or will it be better with it?
I think we're better off without it.
Okay.
I actually deleted my Twitter account last night.
Okay.
Because it was attached to my business. And I couldn't interact with, we'll say, your posts or your tweets. Because just like somebody said earlier, there's always a retribution. People are always out to really ruin you if they can.
Mm-hmm.
And social media seems to come down to how bad can I treat other individuals or businesses. But they won't do it to your face ever.
Yeah.
And that's part of the thing. One of the WhatsApps I just sent in was that nobody's a conversationalist anymore. Like when we still do bed and breakfast, and in the morning we do breakfast, nobody's talking to each other. There's no conversation going on. They're both on the phone or all four or whatever.
Yep.
And it seems to be disconnected. And really the only time and last time I've seen decent conversation is when you go out in society and restaurants or pubs, and even restaurants, you'll see kids watching movies when they're sitting with their parents. So it's just
it's incredible to watch, isn't it?
It's a babysitter. I'm stunned. It's stunning. And these people are out on a holiday, like you were saying, and all of this beauty around them, every place to go, and not discussing what are we going to do today, what's the next thing to visit. We have the whole Wild Atlantic Way to go to, and there's none of that conversation. They're taking pictures of food, and I thought they were texting each other across the table, but they're not.
They're taking pictures of their breakfast and putting it up on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of talking about it with themselves. And, you know, I tried to do the interaction, and you'll get a conversation, you'll finally get it going. But they always look, they're always holding on to the phone.
As if you're an inconvenience talking
to them. Yes, and I can't wait to get back to what I was doing.
But let me tell you, it is rude, because if I'm talking to somebody, you know, and they're texting or tweeting, unless the person says, sorry, excuse me, I just need to send this. That's fine. You know, I understand that. Okay, that's fine. But if you're talking to somebody and they have the phone in their hand and they're kind of half looking at you and half looking at their phone, I find it extremely rude.
Yes, and this goes back to a basic business where you need to have a chat with an employee. Should be one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And it even goes back to emails, where there's books out that says never read emails in the morning. If you're talking with an employee and they're trying to get something off their chest, or you need to do something for them, and you keep swinging your head towards your email all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These employees know you're not paying any attention to them. You have no time for their business. You have no time for their life or their career. And that's, I remember that's where all of this started. when people weren't getting the attention they needed.
Well, look, I've run out of time, Neil. Thank you very much indeed. I enjoyed the conversation. And it is a conversation. Maybe radio is the only place you'll get a conversation.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.